It doesn't take a genius.
Ramsey!
Mr. Marshall, this could not be any more appropriate, but right before we pressed the record button, I had to run downstairs and make sure a couple of my children had a good DVD to watch, which of course is the original Transformers cartoon from my 80s childhood, mainly because I need to keep them occupied so we can do this thing work-related that's kind of important. So downstairs is a very fun and very important whirlwind, if you will. And up here is this task that we're trying to get accomplished that's really important for our business. So it's like we're talking about the four disciplines of execution right now.
It really is. And so you've tamed the whirlwind. You've anticipated a whirlwind. You went that's out right. And got in front of it with the DVD and then solved the problem so that you could focus on the task that you believe to be important, which is the making of this video and sharing our worldly knowledge with both our fans.
Exactly. And I do just want to remind our two listeners, viewers, that we covered this in an introductory sense in our last session. Today, we're going to talk about the first two of the disciplines that help you, as the book says, achieve your wildly important goals. The book talks about this being the proactive things that you're going to do. They're not going to happen on their own, but they're things that are really, really important to you. And so these are four habits, four disciplines that help you get those things done and really execute on the stuff that's important to you. So that's what we're going to talk about, the first two of those four disciplines today.
Yes. And so what is the first one?
All right. So let's get into it. The first one is to focus on the wildly important. Focus on the wildly important. And you can see I have something behind me that says priority. You have something behind you that says important. So we're essentially talking about the result here, the thing that we're trying to get, to accomplish, to achieve. And the book talks about how the best way to state these wildly important goals, the WIGs, is to have a starting line, a finish line, with a deadline. So you've got sort of three metrics there, where we start, where we want to end up, and in what time frame. So that's focusing on the wildly important. Is that pretty much how you see it, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it plays right into the SMART. We talked about, you know, yeah. SMART as an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timeline. And so either way, you kind of, you know, this gets us to a couple of key points about the wildly important goal is, first of all, there should just be one.
Right.
The book says you can have one to three. It's been my experience.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that, especially when you're starting out. Yeah, just what is that one thing that if you focused on, right? And this is the goal that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Failure to achieve this goal renders all the other achievements inconsequential. So I always play, when we're talking about this, I always play the clip from John F. Kennedy's speech in 1961. And he talks about, you know, I believe this nation should endeavor itself to, you know, have a man travel to the moon. And this was the key part, and return safely back to Earth.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's hard to get volunteers. And then he said, before the decade is out.
Yeah.
So it took away all the vagueness, right? Here's where we're going. Here's what we're going to do. And here's where we're going to do it by. Yep. And there was a zillion things that had to happen in between that. And those were sub goals and things like that. But at some point, you have to just plant a stake in the ground and say, this is where we're going, and this is when we're going to get there by, and make sure that everything focuses on that. I'm often telling my leaders, or, you know, when you lay awake at night, what are you worrying about?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, yeah, I'm worrying about this, right? Can we get here? And then my second question is always, what are your people laying awake worrying about? And is it are they going in the exact same direction? Do you have them focused on goals that take them this way while your goal is over here? So, you know, and then if you use a sports analogy, are we all, everybody on the team kicking towards the same goalpost?
Yeah.
We all moving towards the same end goal. And often you'll find that, no, I've got these guys focused on this, and it's in their best self-interest to do this, whether they've created a structure or they've right. implied that this is the way, you know, this is what you should be doing in order to be successful or safe. When in reality, you're trying to go this way and you're wondering right. why no one's going with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that basically, if you find out that they're staying awake at night over different things than you, then the four disciplines of execution could not be better suited for you, because by the time we get to this fourth discipline, it will be very public and in their conscious mind on a regular basis that you're on the same page about what's really important. But it all starts with setting the priority coming from the word that means first. What's the first thing? And that's what we're essentially trying to identify here. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about this a little bit last time, but I would argue that just saying sell more or make more money is not enough, right? Like, you know, you sell one more car than last year, it's probably not enough. Let's put a stake in the ground. Maybe it's the wrong stake, but let's have something that we're aiming for. You know, for instance, I've had a store recently that said, we're going to enter a new product segment. We're just not in this product segment. It's a new market for us. It's a big deal going forward. As we see where our market's headed over the next decade, we've got to be in that market. We're going to get to where we sell X number in volume on a monthly basis by the end of the year. Okay, that's more specific. That's better than sell more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we want to be the leader in our market. We want to we want to be the best, you know. Yeah, the best, the leader, you know. None of it's measurable. And so the question is,
right.
Yeah, how do you define best? You know, how do you define a leader? How do you define, you know, we want to be the best at customer experience. What's your definition of customer experience? And so
that's right.
And so figuring out, is that, you know, repeat purchases? Is that how you measure, you know, being good at customer experiences? Is it loyalty? The people who you retain? Is it advocacy? Is it the number of people who send you new customers?
Yeah, I love that.
All those things are measurable. Right. And they would make a great wig, but yeah, just be better at customer service, not going to cut it. And it's too nebulous, and you will have people going off in different directions.
Okay, so focus on the wildly important, have that wildly important goal, have a starting line, a finish line with a deadline, make it specific, even if it's wrong. I mean, the authors of the book have said this, even if you get the wrong wig the first time around, you'll still have wins and learnings that come from this. It usually, that's what happens, is you don't pick the right wig the first time around. So plant something, plant a stake somewhere. So that's the first of the disciplines, but we're not done yet here. We're sort of setting the rules to the game, right? We know how we'll win. We know what constitutes winning, but now we've got to figure out what are our activities to get there. So discipline two is act on the lead measures that get us to that goal, that wildly important goal. And the book talks about this as, you know, the examples being diet and exercise. Those are things you can measure, activities under your control that help you get to that wildly important goal. You just want to make sure that those activities you're focused on that are under your control are the best way to accomplish the goal. So the book talks about it being a strategic bet. I love that phrase, that we're making a strategic bet that this is what's going to get us to that stake that we planted in the ground for our goal.
Well, yeah. And when you think about it, one way you can identify, and the book talks about lead and lag measures.
Yeah.
So lead measures are the things that you can control. In your weight loss example, lead measures would be the amount of calories I burn, the amount of calories that I take in, things like that.
Lead measures. How many times I ran this week.
Exactly. That's within my control, and it will determine the outcome of my lag measure, which mm-hmm. is ultimately how much do I weigh.
Right.
And so the beautiful thing about lag measures is you don't have to go looking for them.
Hmm.
Your boss will hand them to you. Mm-hmm. Your boss, once a week, once a month, once a quarter, will go, here's how you're doing. You know, they'll tell you how many cars you sold. They'll tell me how many widgets you made. Whatever it is, whatever that lag measure is. And then we have all these people, and they spend a whole bunch of time tracking lag measures.
Yeah.
You know, I go into the to these businesses and they've got, you know, their monthly sales numbers on the board.
Right.
They've got them for the last decade, you know, December of 2020, you know, December of 2000, here's how many widgets we sold. And then here's how many we sold, you know, every December from that point forward. You don't, that stuff will seek you out. You don't have to go looking for it. It will find you.
Right, right. And the inverse is also true. These lead measures are hard to measure. I mean, they're not things that we naturally track. We have to proactively track them because we have to proactively do them. Otherwise, I can think of a million things that I could do instead of that one thing that I feel like I should do, but I just haven't got around to it, right? Probably because I haven't given myself a deadline on the goal that I'm trying to accomplish as well, right?
Well, and it goes back to like we talked in the intro video, we talked about forecasting. So forecasting is a great example of we've set this wonderful target. And every week, somebody's going to produce a report that tells you how you're doing for that target. But the activities, what are the things within the scope of your control that if you did them consistently would help you get there? And so if I'm going to grow sales, right, and I've picked a number, I'm going to grow sales by 10%. What are the specific things that I have to do more, better, different, or less that would make that, would help me to attain that goal? And if I don't have that, then I'll probably do some stuff, but it won't be focused and it won't be targeted. And I won't know how I'm doing as far as the activities that are going to make my lag goal come true.
Yeah. This is the interesting part for me is, I can think of a million examples and I'm not going to share them because they belong to some clients who have really figured some things out. Mm-hmm. There's an example. I can't remember if this is in the book or if I heard this in an interview with Chris McChesney, one of the authors of The Four Disciplines of Execution, as I hold it up for the camera.
Well done.
But he talks about a shoe store chain that let each of the individual locations pick their lead measures. I think they all had the same wildly important goal that they were shooting for, but they each got to pick their own lead measures. And there was a clear winner in those lead measures. And it was a shoe store that picked measuring children's feet. They got that specific. And it was on the honor system. Like it's not like there's a children's feet measurement checker in the store walking around with a clipboard making, no. We're going to go on the honor system. We all believe this really will work. Then it did. If they could measure children's feet, they were much more likely to sell a pair of shoes. So what you're doing, again, I'm not going to, give away any of my clients' secret sauce, frankly, because they've all figured out some pretty clever things. I know yours have too, but it's something that you really think this is our bet. We bet this strategy will work. It's fascinating to see how this plays out because people get really smart. You have really smart people working for your company. And when you toss this to them and have them play around with it, they get very creative outside of the box and come up with stuff that really can move the needle that you never would have thought. That's the thing. That's what we're going to focus on. Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you see it, just some general examples from sales, appointments. Appointments are within the scope of my control. And I can even go one step back. I can go to outbound phone calls.
Right.
Right. So this many outbound phone calls tends to equal this many appointments tends to equal this many sales. So if I want sales to grow, then I'm going to track what are the number of outbound calls, what are the number of appointments set, and then ultimately that should lead to my wildly important goal of increasing market share, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It could be going out and calling upon new customers.
Right.
So I'm going to set a goal for this month. I'm going to leave the office and I'm going to talk to 7 clients a week that are not currently doing business with us.
Yeah.
That's, so these are nothing new. What makes these powerful is to set a goal for these activities. And the goal has to be specific, it has to be measurable, attainable, realistic, and timelined. And you see in the course of this, if you've got a wig that's a year-long wig, there'll be a quarter where, we were short-staffed. And because we were short-staffed, the whirlwind got more intense, and lo and behold, we weren't able to make more outbound phone calls. We weren't able to make call on more new customers, potential new customers. And so, but what happens with this is because I have a plan, when my staffing, you know, gets back up to where it's supposed to be again, I know exactly what I need to do. I know exactly what I need to do. I can go back to doing the activities that I decided upon before the whirlwind swept me up. And so, you know, the whirlwind sets you down and you catch your breath and go, I know there's 1,000 things I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not sure what they are right now. Yeah. This, having this plan, makes it more likely and that you'll get back to what the activities were that will make you more successful, and you'll get back to them faster because you had a plan.
Now, one thing before we start closing this out about these lead measures, I have noticed clients wrestling over the lead measures that the manager controls and the lead measures that the actual staff control. Have you had clients wrestle with that, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The idea of deciding on a lead measure is often best done in collaboration.
Uh-huh.
And so sitting down with the people in the front line and say, all right, here's where we're going. Here's some activities that I think would get us there. What do you guys think? You know, and have them tell you, yeah, no, when we focus on this, this tends to get better. Yeah. And so, yeah, getting some collaboration there, because we see this all the time. The people in the office have an idea of how to make the machine run faster, but we've discovered over and over in our work with organizations that no one knows better how to be more productive than the person who's running the machine or making the sales. They just need to be asked. They need to be brought into the loop. And then it also speaks to ownership. If you come out of the office with a pronouncement of here's the goals and here's the activities that you're going to do.
Right.
Because no one on the planet wants to be told what to do. You know, whether you're 2 years old or you're 70 years old or anywhere in between, telling me what to do, not the best way to get my engagement. But if you come to me and say, what are the activities that we could do, more, better, different, or less, that would get us there? Now we can have a conversation and we will probably land on the right things.
And that's
fine, you know, if it's different than what you originally thought it might be. And one of the things I think we have to make that we talk about fairly frequently here is that this can change. Mm. So the goals can change, the activity goals can change, the lead measures can change. So this should be an evolving thing. It's you want to run it long enough to determine, okay, is this working or not? But if you find, okay, it needs to be tweaked, make tweaks. And I think that's where a lot of these things fall apart is, well, we did it, it didn't work, so we quit doing anything.
Right.
No, we don't want to quit doing anything. We just want to tweak this to was the goal worthy? Yeah, it's still worthy, right? Do you believe that's where we should focus our efforts? Yes.
Yeah.
All right, then we'll tweak the activities, the lead measures, and see if we can make this happen. And so it should be dynamic. It should be changing. It should be evolving.
Okay. Well, that's a great stopping point for us today. Two disciplines, the rules of the game, so to speak. Focus on the wildly important. Have that wildly important goal. That's the result you're looking for. That has a starting line, a finish line, and a deadline. And then act on the lead measures and spend some time collaborating with your team on coming up with what's under your control that is your strategic bet for your best way to achieving those goals. Anything else you want to throw in before we wrap it up and get ready for next week's exciting conclusion?
I would just encourage you, if you're, like I said, the lag measures will find you. If you're struggling with your lead measures, with the activities, talk to someone.
Yeah.
I see so many managers will launch this. They'll go back to their office, maybe even meet with their team members and struggle. And then they come back and they talk to somebody in a different department. Talk to your boss, your owner, whoever. Get some different perspectives on this, because sometimes we'll get tunnel vision. We'll get locked in our own box and we won't be able to see what's possible. So, definitely talk to everybody about, what could I do here to achieve this?
Assuming you have a team, this will never be done as a lone ranger. Nope. This is always going to be in collaboration no matter what. So that's a great word.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Let's see what our collaborative announcer has to say about this.
It's collaborative.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. Join us next time when you'll hear Mike say, Well, I'm sure he'll say something pithy. Don't miss it. Next time, it doesn't take a genius.
That's good enough.